Good afternoon, everyone. Just recently, there's a few people been asking me about how to deal with fear, and they've been talking about how to overcome fear. And often we find ourselves like thinking of things that stir up our emotion, like anxieties, fear of grief, sorrow. And remember, I remember a lady, she's a very experienced meditator. She's been meditating for over 20 years, more than 20 years. She's a very experienced meditator. And she was in one retreat that everybody expecting that she must have a wonderful retreat, you know, happy time, have peace. But that retreat, she just experienced lots of grief. She was so sad. And because, you know, sometimes, you know, as our mind become more and more refined, and that's like the practice that sometimes we think that we're always peaceful and happy, because sometimes we take off the layer and layer. When we take off the top layer, and then after that, we feel peace and happy, you know. Then after a while, as a practice, we go a little bit deeper, we hit another layer, and then again, we have that, you know, that kind of emotion come out. And then sometimes we even thought that we already let go of that because we don't experience that for a long time. But still, that is a lot of the unresolved emotion, especially sometimes those happen during our childhood, that kind of trauma we have gone through. And that really deep inside, and is that unresolved. And then because of that, we keep revisiting, you know, replay the past. You know, sometimes even that we react to the present event and replay the past event, like watching movie, you know, because it's in our memory. And this lady, the reason why she feel that because of when she was a child, she was only a few years old, her mother died in front of her. Her mother committed suicide and died in front of her. That she was really traumatized. But this been really deep down because it's childhood, and then she grown up. It seems that she's okay, and then she meditate. But this thing is not resolved. It's really deep down. It's just, you know, sometimes like we try to pull out some weed, you know, and then the root is so deep. We keep digging. It's still, the root is still there, and it's so deep down. It's like, really, some of those is really deep down. And then people start to have doubt. Oh, maybe, you know, how come people think that, you know, meditation is, you should be always happy, always peaceful? Because sometimes when your mind become more and more refined, you'll be able to see those unresolved emotions on a more and more refined level. Because if your mind is not refined enough, you're unable to look at it. So that's why when this fear, been, you know, how to deal with that, you know, because of especially things that is, like during childhood, the kind of trauma, and it's really rooted in deep down inside. It's just like, for example, like you've been slapped when you're a child, and sometimes you see someone being slapped. Actually, it's nothing to do with you, isn't it? And that's triggered, and you got so angry, so upset, and then you started to think about, you know, and you revisit that. It's just at the movie, you know, when we just keep go back and watch the movie again, you know, is this real? Is that happened before? Is a memory? Is in our subconscious? And then we look at that. And then sometimes people watch movie, they got emotionally involved, they cry, isn't it? So that's like, if you are grounded in present moment, you will not get affected. It's just okay, it's just a movie, it's nothing to do with me. But sometimes people got sucked in. And part of that, why we couldn't, what we always again and again replay, you know, the movie again, and then again and again we revisit again, we suffer again, we experience again, we experience that grief, that fear, the anxieties, and then again and again we suffer because that deep down of us, that inner child, that us, that we wouldn't want to come out. Because we become like a habit, we want to stay there. You know, like even some people when they have very deep meditation, when they come to very deep meditation, when the body starts to disappear, they have fear. They're so scared, oh, I'm losing, you know, that the sense of self. Because people rather hold on to the known than hitting towards to the unknown, because you know, you don't know what is going to happen, because it's so frightened, it's afraid of, you know, to face that the unknown. So they rather, even though they cause them so much suffering, they still want to hold on to that. You know, I have people like, you know, that they experience depression because she married off her daughter when her daughter was only 16 years old. And after that, she feel terrible and she start to feel, she really become depressed. But eventually, when her daughter grown up, because she married her daughter to the man when her daughter only 16 years old, and she feel really bad that because of, you know, because it's a matchmaker marriage, and she felt so bad. When after many years her daughter grown up, have her own family, but in fact her daughter have a happy marriage life. The family is good, all the grandchildren, and she's become the daughter becomes a Buddhist, and the both husband and wife practicing, they're really happy, and the daughter keep telling her, "Mom, I'm okay, you know, you don't have to feel guilty, you don't have to feel bad." But she can't help it because she got into the habit, become depressed. If she don't depress, it's no longer her, like become part of her, and she wouldn't want to come out of it. Sometimes part of us that we take that as like a true home, we don't want to come out of it. They say sometimes that we can invite the inner child, inner us, to invite them to come out, to encourage them to come out to the present moment, not to dwell in the past, to encourage them to come out. Because sometimes that inside, the deep down, the inner self, the inner child wouldn't want to come out because they're afraid to come out. Because like for example, some people used to worry. So then if they don't worry, it's no longer then. I have someone said to me that they've been, that a lot of things been happening to her, and then lots of difficulties, and then she have lots of worries, and then life going, you know, a bit better, smooth, and then she's less things happen, and then things goes a bit, you know, smooth. Then she said that I find it so funny, when I have less thing to worry, I try to find thing to worry, because I used to worry. If I don't worry, it's no longer me. So because when you get into the habit, it's become an addiction, and it's very difficult to really come out of it. And also part of that, that our inner self, the inner child that sit in us, that wouldn't want to come out, wouldn't want to be in the present moment. But of course, when we are grounded in present moment, we be able to just sit and relax and just watch the movie without being affected, without being sucked in. Provided you are really your mindfulness is strong enough, and you're grounded in present moment awareness, you'll be able to do that. But sometimes people are unable to do that. And then the mind is again and again, is that keep revisiting and replay, you know, all the memories, all that trauma they have gone through. And sometimes like you've been triggered off, like someone said something, and again and again. And also sometimes when your mind become more and more refined, and you be able to really to look at those things that in the past you're unable to look at. So that's why when you meditate, you know, sometimes that you keep thinking of things that stir up your fear, anxieties, grief, sorrow. You have a lot of sadness. Actually, the best way is not to run away and not to try to suppress. Actually, just stay with that emotion. But it's not easy because it's quite overwhelming. Provided your mind is strong enough, and you are really grounded present moment awareness, you'll be able to do it and just stay and just look at it, you know. We can even investigate and look at it deeply without being affected, without being involved. That is will be really good. But sometimes if you can't do that, so we have to train ourselves, we have to tell the inner child to encourage them to encourage the inner self. Okay, it's fine. You can come out. You know, it's already past. We have grown up. So come out, you know, then we are, if sometimes part of the mindfulness, we need to be reminded. We have to remind ourselves, so it's already past. We no longer, you know, vulnerable. We no longer fragile. We already grown up. So we don't have to be afraid of anything. So bring the mind, encourage the mind back to present moment awareness. And actually you can do that. You can talk to the inner child. The inner you, like in the past, you know, what the especially things that you're unable to let go of and things that you're really holding on. Because that is the past, that is your inner self that is it, that you still hold on to, that the sense of self that you still holding on, that past, that are you, that part of you that is stay there and that wouldn't want to come out. So that's why we can speak to that's inner self that holding on to that inner self that we want to live in there. Even though we suffer, we still want to live in there. We encourage, we talk to that inner child, inner self to come out, you no longer, it's already past. And we can do that. And that's also, it's part of the, we can also help to overcome that, to stay with fear until the fear hit the maximum. When it hit the maximum, it bound to subside. It will not keep, you know, that is the maximum point. Anything that hit the maximum point is bound to subside. So if you be able to do that, it's the best way to deal with fear, to be able to stay with the emotion. And or you can, a technique you can use, a skillful means that you can use, you speak to that inner, the self that you're holding on, that you want to be there. So to encourage, you talk to them to come up, to encourage, to remind ourselves to come out of it, and you can do that. Another skillful means you can use is to do the breathing exercise. Breathing in fear, breathing out peace. So you make peace with that fear, you embrace the fear, it's okay. Because sometimes we don't like it. We think that we shouldn't have fear. The fear shouldn't be there. We don't want to experience the fear. So when we do the breathing exercise, breathing in fear, breathing out peace. In fact, we have the impact in the mind that it's okay. We make peace with the fear. We embrace the fear. It's okay. We accept fear. So we embrace that, so we make peace with that. That's why we breathe out peace. That is another way that is we can use all this. These are part of the skillful means. And then also we can do body awareness. You can bring your body, because normally when you have fear, the next things, thinking, thoughts will come, followed by fear. And then that thinking itself makes you become more fearful, isn't it? What's happened this will happen next time, and I'm going to do all go on and on and on. And actually, you reinforce that. So next time, your fear arises again, it become more intense and intense because we are feeding it. So that's why you stop the mind from into that projection of that fear. So we stop that, stop the mind from going into the thinking. Actually, you bring your awareness to your body, to stay with the body, to bring your awareness to the body. How do you feel like this moment? Is it that it's tension in your body? Do you feel tightness? Do you feel that your breathing is very heavy? And then do you feel that your chest is very tight? Or you feel your whole body with tension? Just bring your mind back to the sensation and feelings. And that stops you from into the thinking, because sensation feelings actually is a causal object, because it's easier to go with the causal object than to try to stay with the emotion. Because if your mindfulness is not strong enough, if your awareness is not strong enough, it's very difficult to just stay with the emotion without effect, without sucking. That is a more difficult. Of course, that is the most effective one if you be able to do that. But if we can't, we have to go back to the causal object. So we go to we can go to body awareness. We do the breathing exercise, breathing in fear, breathing out peace, make peace with that fear. At ease and at peace with the fear. It's okay that we feel that. So then, because when we do that, we cut off, we stop the mind from going into the thinking. And also we can speak to that inner child in us that, you know, that wouldn't want to come out. We want to dwell in the past. That we encourage them, okay, it's already past, come out. So we talk to that, you know, to encourage them to come out. And these are some of the skillful means you can help to overcome fear. So that's why you just have to use a different skillful means that which really suits you. And sometimes you can be innovative. Even you do the breathing exercise, breathing in fear, and then you can have other things like, you know, you can say, oh, breathing in fear, and then you say breathe out or relax. You can do that. You know, whatever that really click, you can be innovative. And that's really some of the skillful means can stop you from sucking in to that emotion. And especially it's pretty normal sometimes, like, you know, that because the whole path of practice is like is many levels. So as we go deeper and deeper, and then we find ourselves that sometimes things that we think that we have let go of, actually we haven't. It's still deep down there. But because it's so subtle and our mind is not refined enough to be able to see that. So then we think that it's not there, but actually it's there. So that's why if you be able to see that, not to be afraid of. So you say, sadhu, sadhu, at least we can see, we know. That's why sometimes people don't understand. In order to see your refined defilements, you need to have wisdom. If not, you can't see yourself, isn't it? Then a lot of people feel really terrible, you know, when they be able to see their own defilements. You need to develop, you need to have wisdom in order to see your own defilements. Because we can't see, if we are deluded, we can't see that we are deluded, isn't it? We can only see that we were deluded. It's something that the Buddha said, you know, if a fool knows that he's a fool, he's still wise to the extent. So it's a fool thing that is wise, is indeed a fool. So not to be afraid that you see your own defilements. So we just be honest about that. Just accept ourselves as we are. Like one of the qualities the Buddha's mentioned, that is the truthfulness. The truthfulness is not only not telling lies. Actually, the truthfulness actually is more deeper level the Buddha's refer to. That is not lying to ourselves, the inner integrity. We just, okay, this is how I feel. Be honest about that. We don't have to feel bad that we, you know, sometimes we have this negative emotion. So if we don't have negative emotion, we are not here. So this is part of, that's why we are here. That's why we still have defilements, we still have the sense of self, we still have ego. This is, it's okay. If we have no sense of self, we have no defilements, we are not here. So we just look at it. We don't take it personally. So we only be able to do that. We don't take things personally, provided our mindfulness is strong enough. Present moment, we're grounded in present moment, then we will not get affected. We just say, okay, as if that we are just watching a movie and not get involved. And some, I know some people watch movies, they cry and cry, you know, that's some sad movie, because they got emotionally involved. So, but we don't get involved, we don't suck in. But not to suck in, you have to have, your mind have to be strong enough to do that. So if you know that you can't do that, you have to go back to the causal object. You know, we cannot force ourselves. It's just like, for example, we have a goal, we want to lift 100 kilo. It's good, but we don't force ourselves to start with 100 kilo. So we start with 50. So if we be able to lift 50, we increase another slowly, you know, we do what we can deal with. We don't force ourselves, we should be able to overcome. We cannot force our mind to overcome that. If we find it very difficult to stay with that fear, you go back to your feelings, or you do that a breathing exercise, or you go back and talk to, speak to that inner child inside us, inner self that wouldn't want to come out, want to stay in the past, you know, encourage them to come out, encourage them to come out. And that's also some of the skillful means you can use. And you can try which one works for you, which is more suitable. So then today I offer this for your today reflections. You can make use of some of these skillful means. So now we can meditate. I will do a guided meditation. Okay. Just relax your body. Find the most comfortable posture. And bring your awareness to the body. Breathing in, I calm my body. Breathing out, I smile. As you breathe in, we can feel the breathing calming our body and mind. Breathing out, we smile. As we smile, you can feel the muscles on our face relax. And we can feel our mind and body become relaxed. And we can invite the inner child in us. Dear, please come. Please come out from the past. And to witness the wonder of life available here and now. And we invite the inner child to come to this true home that is present moment. And the present moment is our true home. We remind ourselves that we have grown up. We are no longer fragile. We are no longer vulnerable. It's nothing that we are afraid of. And with gentleness, we are compassionate. That we're holding the inner child. Please, we already don't have to be afraid of anything. I'll be with you. We come back to this present moment, here and now. Dwell in this present moment. Let go of the past and future. Make peace, at ease, and at peace with ourselves. And with this moment, and it is a wonderful moment. It's a joy to be able to sit here doing nothing, dwelling in this present moment. Enjoying this moment. Appreciate every single breath that we breathe in. Mindfully breathing in and out. If there's any unpleasant emotions, feelings that arises, just breathe in that emotion. Just breathe in that feelings, the unpleasantness. So breathing in unpleasantness, breathing out peace. Peace with the unpleasantness. the first questions. As a lay devotee, how to keep oneself indulged in the path? As some days I'm mindfully present and some days I don't pay that much attention. So how to stay more focused and balanced in the path? Actually, you have to keep practicing. And you just have to keep conditioning your mind. You have to change our habit. And that's why you have to keep, you know, brainwash ourselves. Because it's become a habit that we don't like to stay present. We like to go back to the revisit, we go back to the past and to the future, and we don't like to be present. And it's been conditioned that way. Actually, it takes time. And you have to keep practicing. For example, if you sit in meditation, if you find yourself wander off, you have to keep train your mind, bring your mind back to present moment, bring your mind back to present moment. You have to keep doing that. Keep telling the mind, coming back, coming back. So over a period of time, the mind will automatically come back. This is because you have to recondition. You have to make the mind become, like you reinforce yourself, you keep doing the same thing and become a habit. So they say you have to recondition. So it will not happen overnight. So you have to, every day we practice present moment awareness, try whatever we do in our daily life, try to bring our mind back to present moment awareness. Even though sometimes our mind wander off, it's okay, fine. But you have to keep practicing. The mind need to be trained. It's just like we have to build up our mental muscles. It's not overnight we can do that, isn't it? We have to, like we want to build our muscles, we have to go to the gym. We can't say, I do one day, and I stop 5 days, and I do it again. You know, your muscles will never be built up, isn't it? You have to go there and keep building up. Then you build up your mental muscles. And this is a gradual training. It will not happen overnight. So I get anxiety attacks for no specific reason and to how to deal with it. So you don't try to find out why, because a lot of things that because our mind is not refined enough to really know, but we just stay with that feelings, just knowing that how you feel that moment. And you can use the skillful means I've suggested. You can do the breathing in exercise or go back to your, because the emotion actually manifests in the body. We can feel when we have anxieties, and we can feel that our body, it's very tense or tight. So we focus on the tightness, because sensation and feelings is easy to focus because it's a causal object. But if we try to stay with that emotion, because it's a mental object, it's a more subtle object, it's quite difficult. And sometimes remain that non-reactive awareness is very difficult, because somehow we got sucked in. That's like if you find yourself sucking, you have to bring your awareness back to the body, or you do the exercise, the breathing exercise, or you bring your awareness back to the body, and then you have to do that again and again and again and again. It's just like any world champion. How many hours of practice? Only for that moment, isn't it? They don't get it right, isn't it? How many times, you know, that diver, they have to dive again and again, and the gymnastic, how many that all the performance, how the turn and things like that. How many times they have to practice until it's perfect? Until they do it 10 times to get it, because sometimes 10 times, sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't get it, but then it's not perfect. Then you have to keep practicing the same thing. There's no shortcut. You know, you have to keep practicing. You have to keep building up your mental muscles. That is the only way. And I know sometimes people think that I have any secret recipe. You know, if I have secret recipe, I would have used it myself, and I got enlightened long ago. You just keep practicing. That's all we can do. You say, keep doing that. Keep building up. Keep building. You know, actually, you know that you have progress. When we look back, like things that used to bother us long time, And then now doesn't bother us. I mean, sometimes it's still there. It still bothers us, but it's like less intense. Like for example, sometimes it takes us a month, you know, that is still bothering us. But now maybe take us a few days. Imagine how much suffering we have lessened. Sometimes you have to look at it that way. Because it's, you can't get rid of it. You can't use willpower to get rid of it. Even though we don't react, it's still there. It's just like I used to give the simile of a ball. You know, when we react, then we're kicking the ball will continue to spin. Even we stop kicking, the ball still spin. But because you don't add in new energy, the ball become very slow, isn't it? Slower. And if we continue not reacting, we continue not kicking, the ball eventually stop. And one day you find, oh, this doesn't bother me anymore. Oh, you're so happy that, oh, you know, last time used to bother me. And then slowly, maybe in the past, you find it so difficult, quite overwhelming. Now, like, become manageable, like, under control. And this is how it's a gradual training. It takes a bit of time, okay? What is the best way to let things go, like, in really how and just be at peace? And again, the letting go will not happen overnight. First of all, you have to practice present moment awareness, develop your mindfulness, and that you're mindful enough to be able to recognize what are the things that you're holding on to. If you don't even mindful enough to know that things that you're still holding on to, isn't it? Then how are you going to let go? First of all, you have to develop your mindfulness, practice present moment awareness. You develop your clarity. That is the first thing. If you're unable to see that, what are the things that you're holding on, what are the things causes you suffering, you can never come out of it. And we just keep following our whole habit. You know, we react, you know, just according to the old habit pattern. And then we keep reinforce. And then it's again and again, you know, we're doing the same thing, react. And then that's why it becomes stronger and stronger. And it's very difficult. You can never come out of it. That's why, first of all, you have to be able to develop the clarity. So put into practice present moment awareness, develop your mindfulness, like enough clarity to be able to recognize. So first of all, the letting go will not happen. It's a process. First of all, you'll be able to recognize. Then recognize what are we still holding on to. And then be able to acknowledge that. So sometimes we still fight. We don't acknowledge that. You know, we pretend that it's not there. Even we be able to say that. Like sometimes, you know, we get easily, you know, get involved or someone says something nasty to us. We find it very difficult not to bite back our tongue. We still want to set back. And then we know that this is something that we have to work on. And then we recognize that. But we still try to justify, oh, because of the person too terrible, you know. And then we try to justify. We are able to acknowledge that, yes, this is something that I need to work with. This is something that I need to work on. And this is really caused me suffering. We admit that. But sometimes we judge ourselves. We think that we are terrible. You know, we think that, I know someone said to me that they feel so terrible. I don't even ask this question in front of everyone because I have so much jealousy. I'm jealous of my friend. I said, that's like we judge ourselves. I said, no, jealousy is just being jealousy. So you're just being honest. Said, okay, we acknowledge that, yes, I feel jealous. I'm jealous now. You know, just be honest. This is acknowledge that. So we don't try to pretend that it's not there. We accept. Then that's like it comes to when we be able to acknowledge that, then only we be able to accept that. To accept that, yes, I still have these defilements. I still have lots of jealousy. And sometimes a bit grumpy. Sometimes a bit nasty. It's okay. I accept myself as I am. It's okay to be grumpy. It's okay to be jealous sometimes. I remember one of my friend told me that she's very jealous of her sister. And she told me that because her sister prettier, taller, slim, and then she sometimes, she told me she used to say nasty thing to her sister, telling how ugly her sister looked like. But actually, it's not. She's jealous of her sister. Yeah. But at least she's honest about that. She told me that. And then because someone said nasty thing to her, and then she said she got back her karma. She know how it feel like when someone criticize her that, you know, you have a mole and then on your face, and then the mole have hair, you look terrible, disgusting, the person tell her. And then she said she knows how it feel like. So at least we just honest about that. That is one of the qualities, that is truthfulness. Not deceiving oneself. They said truthfulness is not only not telling lies, but we don't deceive ourselves. It's just okay. We are still, you know, it's okay. Like the Buddha said, you know, like if we see our defilements, we accept that, we acknowledge that. So we're not pretending it's not there. We're not deceiving ourselves that, oh, I'm not lying, you know, try to justify. It's okay that I'm jealous because the person is terrible. No, we just be honest about that. We accept ourselves. And acceptance itself is letting go. It's okay. Letting things be. It's okay that we feel jealous. It's okay that we feel grumpy. It's okay how we feel at this moment. So we just stay with that. Not add on anything. Just, it's okay we feel that way. And actually, it will stop by itself. But the more you try to push away, pretend that it's not there, try to justify, in fact, we reinforce that. So we actually are feeding it. So then, be able to, then forgive ourselves. Forgive our stupidity, forgive silly things. We all done all silly things before. You know, I have done silly things before when I was young. You know, I used to, I'm the most terrible one among all my, even elder brother, sister, and brother. Don't dare to talk back to my father. I'm the only one really, every time I talk back. When my father says something, I really talk back. I remember he said, you really stubborn and you won't listen. And each time I'm telling you, you're not going to listen. Then you know what I answer? I say, since you know that I'm not going to listen, why you want to tell me? Actually, when I look back, I know that it's really, like when I grow up, I know that is a, you know, I shouldn't have said that, but you know, that is really, but we all done silly thing, but we just admit, we just acknowledge that, accept that, and forgive ourselves all the stupidity, all the silly things that we have done. And this is being kind to ourselves. Then only you can let go. So you can't just force yourself, oh, let go. I know some people think that they force themselves to let go. And it's not, this is how you let go. Like people said, oh, I want to let go of my children, so I ask them to move out of the house, so I'm not letting go of them. It's not the physically, you know, not to let go. This is not letting go. It's this, that things that you're holding on that really cause you suffering. That what we're holding on. But first of all, do you have enough clarity to see that? If you have not enough clarity to see that, you're unable to let go, isn't it? What to let go? You don't even know that, you know. They say sometimes people speak to me, how to let the other person know that they are very difficult to speak with? I said, you think other people's difficult to speak with, maybe you yourself also difficult to speak with, isn't it? We think other people, we can't see ourselves because it's too close. I said, sometimes it's very difficult to look at ourselves. That's why sometimes if you be able to see your own defilements, I always tell people, when people come to me and tell me that, oh, you know, I see my own defilements and they feel terrible. And I normally say, sadhu, sadhu to them. I say, really good, sadhu, sadhu. You can see your own defilements. That means you have wisdom. That means you have enough wisdom to see your own defilements. It's difficult to see yourself because it's too close. If you don't have enough clarity, you don't have wisdom, you can't see yourself. Then I normally say, sadhu, sadhu, really good. And I told that person, I said, if you come to me and tell me that, oh, I'm perfect, I have no defilements, I tell you I'm really worried, I'm really concerned. But if you tell me that, wow, I have lots of defilements, I said, yeah, good, very good. You know, you can see, you have enough wisdom to see yourself. If you say that I'm perfectly fine, I'm perfect, I have no defilements, I tell you I'm really concerned. I'm really worried about you. That's it's fine. That's inside. That letting go will not happen overnight. And it's a process. You know, that's like, first of all, do you have enough clarity to see yourself? That what are the things that is bothering you? What are the things that you're holding on to? If you don't have, you don't have enough, your mindfulness is not strong enough, and you don't have enough clarity, you're unable to see that, you can't let go. You don't even know that you're attached to that, isn't it? You're not even aware of that. How to let go? They said, first of all, not to worry about any other thing. First of all, practice present moment awareness. Apply this in your daily life. Sit in meditation. Develop your stillness. Because in daily life, when your stillness increase, it's helped you in your daily life with the present moment awareness and your mindfulness develop. And as this develop, and this will develop, and this will help. Is this complement each other? So this is every day. It's a lifetime practice. There's no secret recipe. And then I can tell you, and then, okay, you get done, okay, you got enlightened. No such thing. It's a lifetime practice, okay? And then the last one, love this talk. Thank you. Can you talk about the stages of managing fear in more detail? How at the start you may have lots of fear? Okay. And I can only speak on this from my own experience, that how I overcome fear. That's many years ago. First time that I stay in the cave, I was really, because the first time I stay in the cave, and then because it's like a platform, I sleep and I'm facing the wall of the cave. And that night I can tell, I was lying there. And I can feel that someone walking towards me and standing and looking at me. I tell you, I was really terrified. I was so scared. I was very fearful. And then I said, what am I going to do? I was so fearful. And that moment, that's sometimes part of mindfulness. If you remember some, I remember one of the suttas the Buddhists mentioned that when he was practicing, when he was still a bodhisattva, when he had fear arises that moment, he said, when you have fear arises that moment, if you are walking, you keep walking. If you are sitting, you continue sitting. If you are standing, you just remain that, don't move. So then I was lying, holding my blanket to cover my head because I don't dare to turn around. I just holding on because I was so really terrified. I was so fearful. Actually, I stay with that fear. And I experienced the fear to the max, very, very fearful. I can't really express it in words. That's how fearful I was. That until that fear hit the maximum point, it subsides. Everything, they have a maximum point. When it hit the maximum point, bound to subside. Then after I had that experience, I find it so easy to deal with fear because I know that it won't stay. That's why partly we have to develop patience as well. Yeah. Just stay, learn to stay with the fear. That is the best way. So once it's hit the maximum point, it's bound to subside. Then after that, and some other time I stay at other monastery. I remember one of the monastery that I stay, you know, those kuti. And the kuti is just next to the ash wall. And then no electricity. Then I have to walk, quite far. Quite walk out to the bathroom, and even the bathroom also no electricity. I remember it's quite scary, and then at night, you know, thunderstorm, and then I need to go to the toilet, and then I have to take the torch, holding umbrella, walk all the way, and then I opened the door, and because the mirror in front of me, and I thought there's ghosts in front of me. I was really scared, I frightened. Then I see, oh, it's myself, and then sometimes from time to time I have fear, but because I have dealt with that fear before, I know that it won't stay. I start to develop confidence. Then I said, come, each time the fear comes, I just stay with the fear. Okay, I just acknowledge that, okay, fear is there, it's there. Actually, the moment I recognize and acknowledge and accept that this is how I feel, actually it subsides quicker and quicker. That is one of the way, the easiest, the best way, actually, not to run away, not to suppress, just stay with that fear. And that is very, I remember that experience is very, that is the experience I tell you, even now, it's very clear to me, even now I remember how I feel. When the fear hit the maximum point, when it subsided, I was so peaceful, incredibly peaceful, and full of joy, very happy, very peaceful. That's why, then, because of that experience, I'm no longer afraid of fear anymore. Because I know that it's go away, and I have experienced that when the fear go, when the fear subside, it's so peaceful, it's so nice, and so much joy, and so happy. That's why, because of that experience, that really, after that, I have no problem with fear. Of course, it doesn't mean that the fear will go away. It still comes up from time to time, but I'll be able to manage, like, it doesn't bother me and will not lead me to more and more fearful. Like, because sometimes when you suck into the thinking, project into the future, and you become more and more fearful, isn't it? And then you're really so scared. When the fear comes, oh, because of that unpleasantness, because it's very unpleasant, because we don't like it. They said if you be able to train yourself, stay with that unpleasantness, be able to stay. Because everything come and go. It won't stay there forever. You know, come and go. And they said when you hit the maximum point, you're bound to come down. They said you be patient. Just stay. Just wait and wait and wait. Okay, yes? And this is how, you know, it takes time. And also, because also you have to develop your strength. You have to have enough. Your mindfulness have to be strong enough. Your mind have to be strong enough to be really not to suck in and be able to stay with that fear. So that's why, first of all, if you want to overcome that, you have to develop your mind first, develop your mindfulness first, and your mind, if your mind is strong enough, then you're not easily sucked into that and into that proliferation, into that projection. You'll be able to just stay there. And just like watching movie is nothing to do with you. Just watching that, see what's going on, what's happening. And you see, you can see it will subside by itself. Then this is how you start to develop your confidence. You no longer, you know, afraid of the fear arises. It's okay, because you know that it's going to subside. You know that when, especially you have the experience of that peace, that joy and the happiness, when the fear subside, then you're no longer afraid of the fear. So I can only speak of my experience of how I overcome fear. So any more questions or comments? Yes?
Ajahn Hasapana, you know, in the Dhammapada, there is a clause, you know, which states that patience, tolerance, and understanding are the highest virtues everyone should practice.
Mm-hmm.
I repeat, patience, tolerance, and understanding are the highest virtues everyone should practice, you know. So in Buddhism, patience and tolerance is part of the Buddha's teaching.
And actually, patience itself have the qualities that you have to have the wisdom, because you have the understanding. Then only you have the patience, you have the wisdom, and because you understand that. That's why you patiently wait in this moment. You know that it's going to subside. You have enough confidence because you have the wisdom. And then you have to have the stability of the mind. Then only you'll be able to be patient. If you don't have the stability, it's very difficult to be patient because it's so restless, you can't stand. That's like the stability. That's like, first of all, we have to develop that stability. Your mind has to be really stable, stay fast. Then only you can be patient and stay there. But if you don't have the stability, it's quite difficult to be patient. So sometimes people think that the patient actually is not, that they're only suppressing themselves, you know, be patient. They keep pushing themselves, you know, like, I should be patient, you know. But actually it's not. Patient itself, that you are not using willpower. It's come naturally. It's, you use, Ajahn Brahm used to say, the wisdom power is come from your wisdom. And you just relax, you just stay. But it's like you have to, your mind have to have enough stability. Without stability, it's very difficult to be patient, not to get affected, just stay. So if your mind is not strong enough, very difficult to be patient. They said, first of all, you want to develop the quality of patience, you have to develop the stability of your mind first. You have to build up your strength first. Without that strength, it's very difficult. Tolerance also comes with that able to stay, able not to get affected, even if it's unpleasant. That's why if your mind is not strong enough, not stable enough, it's very difficult to try to tolerate with that unpleasantness is very difficult. So that's why, first of all, that's why practice present moment awareness, develop a mindfulness, and then your mind become more and more still, strengthen your mind become very steady, and you have the stability, then you can patiently stay in present moment. That's a, you, everything have to come together. Like the Buddha said, everything happened according to multiple causes and conditions. Everything have to come together. It's not only one thing. So even the patient itself, you have to have that, the other quality like stability. Okay? So any questions or comments? No? Yeah. Yes. Okay.
You get stuck in the loop mm-hmm. of anger
mm-hmm.
or whatever that mm-hmm. negative emotion is, mm-hmm. choose something different mm-hmm. to do.
Mm-hmm.
So is that contradicting what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because it's just like just not earlier I have mentioned that it's the best way that you'll be able to stay. But sometimes we are not there yet. We are unable to do that, just stay with that. That's why we have other skillful means, like do the breathing exercise. Because you do that when so that our mind will not get sucked into the thinking. So we use other skillful means. That's why of course it's the best way that you be able to stay. But sometimes we are not there yet. We are unable to do that. So we have to use other skillful means. It's not that it's contradict, but because that's why we have to know ourselves where we are at. And it's okay that at this moment, unable to do that is fine. So you use other skillful means, like a breathing exercise, breathing in that, or you go back to body awareness. And because that takes you, your mind away from sucked into the thinking, suck into the projection of that fear. Because when you suck in there, you go on and on and on, it gets stuck. That's like, this is something like a fire break. You stop yourself going in the that is a break. That's what you do that. There's a skillful means that you do something. Or you do walking meditation or something. It's not that sometimes that is the best way that if you be able to really stay with that, but our mind is not strong enough to be able to stay, do that. If you do that, we get sucked in again. So then we have to use other skillful means to do that. Until that we have built up our momentum, we build up our strength, then we okay. It's just like you just a soldier into they go into a battle if they know that I have no strength. What do? You retreat, isn't it? I can't fight anymore. So you retreat, you go back, then you build up your strength, you go again. This is how the practice. They say it's important that we understand ourselves, we know our limitation, we know our strength. We cannot force ourselves. If we force ourselves, it can be counterproductive. Because I listened to when Bahasapanya said you have to stay, and then we force ourselves, but we haven't got the enough stability, and then we force ourselves, then actually can be quite damaging. So that's like, this is how you have to know whether you be able. If you find that you can't stay and you get sucked into the thinking, then you have to retreat, not to stay with that, and you use other skillful means. So is that answer your questions? Okay. Any more questions or comments? Okay. Okay. No more questions or comments? Okay, going, gone.